This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs with Tisha Week in the studio with me. And today we have a story for you on the former Minister of Youth and Sports, YB Said Sadiq. He was shortlisted for the Young Politician of the Year 2020 award by the organisation One Young World. So we're going to discuss his Yellow Ribbon initiative and why it's important to have more young voices in politics.
So we'd like to hear from you. Do tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. If you'd like to weigh in on this subject.
Yes. So a few days ago, as we mentioned, Said Sadiq, the former youth and sports minister of the Pakatan Harapan regime, was shortlisted for the Young Politician of the Year 2020 award by global organisation One Young World. So the UK-based organisation focuses on identifying, promoting and connecting impactful young leaders across the globe for the purpose of creating a better world for all with responsible and effective leadership. So a statement released by the organisation reads, and quote-unquote, the One Young World Politician of the Year award recognizes five of the world's most outstanding politicians between the ages of 18 and 35 who are using their positions to make a positive impact on young people in their communities and countries. Through their important work, these candidates highlight the benefit of including young people in politics.
Yes, so Malaysia's very own Said Sadiq, who was shortlisted for his initiative, the Yellow Ribbon Project, which we are going to talk about in just a second, is listed among 14 other shortlisted candidates, and they include Amelia Womack from the UK. There's also Asian Canadian Cathy Wong. There's Ebba Hermansson from Sweden and Emma Theophilus from Namibia, among many others. So you can check out the full list on oneyoungworld.com. But what exactly is Said Sadiq's Yellow Ribbon Project? So it was launched in October 2018, and the project aims to give second chances to former young convicts. And it's certainly a very progressive idea, because previously, politicians and the general public alike have dealt with these societal issues by criminalizing the actions and perpetrators without giving much thought to what happens after that process. So Said Sadiq's initiative focuses on rehabilitating former inmates, particularly youths, with the goal of integrating them back into society again, you know, giving them a second chance, if you will.
That's right. And according to Malaysia Kini, as of February 2020, the project was said to have benefited a total of 24,234 youths. So to find out more about the project, and also, you know, to discuss why Said Sadiq deserves the award and also the importance of having more young voices in politics, we have on the line James Chai, who's the head of commercial and research at Invoke Solutions. And James is also a political analyst. Welcome, James. Thank you for joining us today. So first things first, what are your thoughts on Said Sadiq getting shortlisted for the Young Politician of the Year award?
I think what the short list for the Young Politician of the Year award by Said Sadiq has done to most Malaysian youth is that there's an honour that is shared commonly across. Because we think that by virtue of being a minister before the age of 30 is in itself a rarity around the world. And I think it sometimes takes an international recognition like that for us to know what an exception that is and how much progress that we have made, as well as what the progress that could still be made in this country. Because it also is a testament for what a good combination of good messaging as well as hard work as a young person could bring, which is something for policies that are probably remembered, as well as it gives you a sense of assurance that young people are indeed capable of making a difference to the way that they want to.
And what is the significance of Said Sadiq's Yellow Ribbon Project?
I think the Yellow Ribbon Project is one of the very few initiatives, even around the world, that has a direct impact on young people. So essentially what they're trying to do is that they're trying to not only provide employment or skills-based opportunities to ex-offenders of a youthful age, but they're also trying to remove a stigma towards that group of people. Because at the heart of it, why this Yellow Ribbon Project is intrinsically connected to any youth initiative is because it strikes at the heart of what being a young person is, which is you make mistakes and you make certain decisions that are based on poor judgment, and you really wish for that second chance to be given to you again. And the Yellow Ribbon Project essentially is trying to remove the stigma that we have on young people who made those criminal mistakes at a very young age, and providing them a second chance, because all of these ex-offenders, if we don't pay attention to an issue like that, they would have a ceiling that is constantly above their head that they cannot break, because the criminal record does have a very long memory. So the significance of the Yellow Ribbon Project is not only about providing real jobs to ex-offenders, but it's also trying to remove this stigma of young ex-offenders to also know that they are human beings that are capable of trying again and making a difference in their own lives.
So with that in mind, do you think it's important to have more youths in politics?
I think it is commonly said that is somehow this logical reasoning that because young people will be the next generation to come, therefore they must be involved. But I think it's more than that, and it's particularly important for our generation because not only will they be the next generation, but the society in their hands will be significantly and extremely different from what we have now. Because what technology and the internet has done is almost revolutionized a lot of aspects of our life. So this could stretch to how we work, how we study, how we socialize and make friends, how we consume information, how we write, how we speak. All of this has taken a very vastly different route for the upcoming generation. And therefore, the sense of dynamism of the world to come requires young people's input. It is not necessarily because they need to fill in a chair at the table, but it is simply because they understand what they're going through much better than any other generation. So it is important to have that inclusion of opinions together with the existing batch of adults. Make sure that whatever future that we commonly share is something that is not too bad when it reaches their hands.
So during his tenure as minister, Syed Saddiq was criticised as being too young. You know, quite often that was thrown at him. Do you think our Dewan Rakyat, which currently has a median age of 50 plus, needs more youth representation, especially in more prominent cabinet positions? And also, what are the pros and cons of having more young voices in Dewan Rakyat?
I think it's very important for us to realise one thing, which is when it comes to any claim for youth representation, we are not talking about the young people replacing an existing group of people. It is about including them in that process. So what that means is that any claim for immaturity, inexperience, doesn't make total sense in a democratic platform where you do require certain groups to be included. The question for the country to ask is whether whatever legislative platform in parliament or executive platform in government, whether it functions something like a board of directors in a company or not, whereby people only of a certain age should be there. The very important thing that we can argue for youth inclusion is simply the ability for them to start a conversation. The logical argument here is that if a group like we have now is currently occupied by people above 50 years old, most of the youth issues don't necessarily affect them, and therefore it wouldn't be on the first thing on their to-do list. So it is the simple fact that when young people go in, they only know about their issues, and therefore they don't have a choice but to make it one of their priorities compared to much older person. The second thing to also note is that there must be a platform that builds that legislative or executive skills for young people. The assumption that we must make is that surely the more you do something, the better you get at it. If there isn't even that opportunity for young people to try their hand at it, we would never have young people who get better at what they do. And maybe that's also the problem why a lot of parliamentarians right now are not that good at their job, because maybe they only started around 50 plus years old. But the con for that is that it is true to a certain extent that certain things require experience. In other words, experience does give you the ability to make better judgments. While young people are bearers of idealism, they may not be bearers of practicality because they may not understand life as holistically as people much older than them. That is admitted. However, the counter-argument is that, once again, they're not replacing entirely the functions of other generations. In fact, they're just being included in that process. The decisions is still something that would be made collectively. The other smaller, however, more concerning negative effect for having young people too early into this political process of being parliamentarians or being part of government is that whatever trappings of politics, they may be exposed to it too soon. Money politics, corruption, doing anything for power at whatever cost. Those things, if they grow upon young people, and because they don't have as much to fall back on once they've decided on the route of politics, they may be trapped and become worse politicians than before.
Thank you so much for joining us, James, and for bringing up those points. That was James Chai, the head of commercial and research at Invoke Solutions. James is also a political analyst.
Yes, and it's great that Syed Saddiq made it to that list. You know, I mean, while One Young World specifically lists his Yellow Ribbon project, it's also important to note that, you know, Syed Saddiq generally had many progressive ideas. For example, he was one of the few MPs during the Pakatan Harapan regime who repeatedly championed the idea of freedom of expression and press freedom. And he also said that the public has the right to criticize the government. And, you know, he's one of also one of the MPs who was vocal about decriminalizing drugs. The other one, of course, being the other MP was 39-year-old Nurul Izza Anwar, who was, yes. So again, from the youth.
Yeah. And segment. Think about it, Syed Saddiq is currently or he will be turning 28 at the end of the year. So, yes, considering that age, what he has pushed for and I guess inspired other young people in Malaysia to look towards. And most importantly, Syed Saddiq also pushed for the country to lower the voting age from 21 to 18, and the bill to change the voting age that was finally given a nod by Parliament last year.
Yeah, and you know, we've been seeing a lot of youth movements. I mean, we just over the weekend we saw Parliament Digital happening, right?
Yes.
And that was, from what I read, widely praised. I missed it myself, being the old person that I am. But
being mothers,
I missed it. I had some other youth to deal with.
Yes, but that's right.
But you know, it was widely praised for its well-researched and inspiring speeches.
Yes, that's right. You know, and a very diverse representation. So 30% of the 222 representatives in that virtual Parliament for Youth were women. They also had representatives for those from the OKU community, Orang Asli community, and even the Orang Siam community. According to Parliament Digital numbers, 64% of the Sabah and Sarawak seats went to those from the indigenous community.
That's amazing, isn't it? It's wonderful that, you know, all these people came together. And maybe you missed it. If you did, last Friday, our colleague Dashrin Johan spoke to Kira Yusri, who is the co-founder and education director of Undi 18. So she's one of the co-organizers of this. And I remember when I heard the interview, how important it was for them to get, you know, these varied voices and, you know, to get all this sort of diversity to make up this Parliament Digital. So it was wonderful that, and they worked really hard. You know, they even tried to subsidize the cost for, you know, some of the participants couldn't afford, let's say, the Wi-Fi, for example.
Right.
You know, so they subsidize.
Coming from
low-income communities or areas where there's not so much accessibility. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they worked hard to to sort of lessen those costs, they did lots of initiatives like that to make sure that everyone had a voice.
And I like the point that James brought up about, and you kind of want to bring youth into political discourse, but you want to balance it out so that they're not exposed to the harsh realities too soon as well, or the pitfalls, right, and dangers. And it makes me think about the PJ City Council's young child councillors. Training the children, I think from the age of about 7 to teenagers, training them to become city councillors. So I think that's a nice level to start at, where it's about like community level issues, right? Things like, safe spaces in their neighborhoods or getting to school safely and things. Those are the kinds of issues that youths also, children and youths should have a voice towards.
Yeah, and, just giving them that platform and recognizing that they are, they can have some input.
Absolutely,
that's a
very valid input as well.
Exactly, and that just kind of hopefully sets the path for them to do so in when they're older as well. So it's a great initiative.
Yes, that's right. Keep your thoughts coming in. If you'd like to share anything about this issue, you can tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
Yeah, but I'm afraid that's all the time we have for today's show. But if you'd like to message us, look us up on Facebook. Just search for BFM The Bigger Picture and you can drop us a message there. If you miss any part of the show, you can download the podcast at bfm.my/dailydigest. You can find it on the BFM app and we're also available on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m. on Earth Matters, I'll be speaking to Dr. Chen Pelfnyok, who is the co-founder of the Turtle Conservation Society of Malaysia. And we're going to be discussing, saving turtles in the time of a pandemic. For now, we leave you with Leaky Lee. Here is Youth Knows No Pain. You've been listening to The Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.